Tonight is the Kartik Purnima. It is the last day of the month of Kartik, which is celebrated as Sri Krishna Rasa Yatra. The month of Kartik is a very specially worshipped month by all sincere Vaishnavas. This particular month is a most auspicious time to make progress in developing devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Because it is said that the month of Kartik is personified by Krishna's own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani's divine presence. It is considered her month, and in this month she is especially liberal in bestowing bhakti or devotion upon those who sincerely strive through following the principles of Krishna consciousness. Especially in Vrindavan, this month of Kartik is greatly celebrated. People from all directions come to Vrindavan to make particular vows, to worship the holy land, to worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And especially people come to Vrindavan to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the holy names of the Lord. This month is especially auspicious because so many very, very auspicious holidays take place. I would like to name just a few. During the month of Karti is Ras Purnima, Sri Krishna Saradiya Rasa Yatra, the day when Krishna performs his Ras Leela under Bamsiva tree in Vrindavan, the disappearance day of Murari Gupta is the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur, Bahulastami, which is the day of the appearance of Sri Radha Kund, the appearance day of Srila Veera Chandra Prabhu, the illustrious son of Lord Nityananda. It is the day of Diwali, the month in which Govardhan Puja, the appearance day of Rasikananda, the disappearance day of Vasudev Ghosh, the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Gopastami, disappearance of Gadadhar Das Goswami, disappearance of Sri Dhananjay Pandit and Srinivas Acharya. Disappearance of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, and today Sri Krishna Rasa Yatra, marriage of Tulsi and Shaligram, and the appearance of Sripad Nimbark Acharya. We would like to discuss all of these wonderful festivals. However, that may take one full month. Today, the appearance day of Nimbarkacharya, There's a beautiful narration that is shared with us by Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod of a particular pastime of Nimbark Acharya. Nimbark Acharya was living in the area of Rudradweep, in the Navadweep Dham, and with some other devotees, they were worshipping Lord Shiva. Devotees understand Lord Shiva as a very great Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yathashambhu. We do not worship Shiva for mukti or for bhukti, material pleasures, or for siddhis. But devotees honor Lord Shiva because they know that he can give bhakti. He could give pure devotion to Krishna if this is what we ask of him. And so these devotees for one fortnight worshipped Shiva by offering him bilva leaves with great devotion. And Lord Shankar appeared to them. And he told them that he would give them Krishna bhakti, the fulfillment of their prayer. And actually, when Krishna or his servants are especially merciful to us, they award us the association of the Lord's intimate devotees. So Lord Shiva told them that in a forest nearby are the four Kumaras, and through their mercy you will get pure love for Radha and Krishna. So Nimbarkacharya, whose then name was Nimbaditya, he went into this forest, and there he saw in meditation these four beautiful sages, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumar, who are always in the form of little children, 4 years old, completely detached from everything of this world. Generally, they are seen like little children, not even bothering to take the time to put on any clothing. And they were sitting completely immersed in meditation in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Nimbaditya, when he saw these four illustrious, beautiful children, but please know they are not ordinary children. If you want evidence of this, you can inquire from Jai and Vijay. Gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So Nimbaditya, when he saw them, he, Hare Krishna. He was so happy. And when they heard Hare Krishna, they came out of their meditation. And here they saw a great devotee. There is no greater joy for a devotee than seeing another devotee. Those who love Krishna's devotees. So the Kumaras immediately got up and started embracing this pure-hearted soul. And they explained to him, after he surrendered to them with great humility, requested instruction, they said that actually, in this age of Kali Yuga, there is so much quarrel, hypocrisy, so much irreligion. But the Lord descends in this place of Navadweep in this age of Kali Yuga. And therefore you are very fortunate to be here. In fact, in this age of Kali, people are so much addicted to trying to find happiness through sense enjoyment, through the process of developing mystic siddhis, or through liberation. They said, we were enjoying liberation. We were Brahman realized. We were immersed in the sinful act of meditating on the impersonal Brahman. But then by the mercy of Krishna, we have achieved devotional service. And now it is our only desire only to engage in devotional service. And in this age, the Lord especially empowers four personalities to spread this philosophy of bhakti. Through the sampradaya of Lakshmi, the Lord empowers Ramanujacharya. Through the sampradaya of Lord Brahma, he will empower Madhvacharya. Through the sampradaya of Rudra, he will empower Vishnu Swami. And we will empower you to propagate the path of pure devotional service. We have written a book, the Sanat Kumar Samhita, and we wish to initiate you in these teachings. Nimbarkacharya was so overwhelmed with gratitude that he took his bath in Ganga and he returned to receive initiation. And they gave him a mantra in chanting the holy names of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Even to this day, the followers of the Nimbark Sampradaya, they chant what is called the Yugal Mahamantra, which is Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. This is none different than the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There is no difference, because Hare is Radhe and Sham is Ram. In fact, once they asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between these two mantras? He said there is no difference. But because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally chanted the Mahamantra, therefore we are always preferring to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Nimbarka was immersed in chanting the Radha Krishna Mantra, and then very soon Sri Sri Radha and Krishna appeared to them in their resplendent divine forms. Srimati Radharani, her body effulgent like molten gold, and Krishna Shyam Sundar, his beautiful form like a freshly formed monsoon rain cloud. Seeing the beautiful darshan of Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Nimbaditya surrendered his life at their lotus feet. They explained that you are so fortunate that you are here in Navadvip, because in Navadvip, in this age of Kali Yuga, we will appear in our most merciful incarnation. The two of us will combine in one form. And then right before the very transcendental eyes of Nimbarkacharya, Sri Sri Radha Krishna came together and formed the beautiful darshan of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Nimbarkacharya saw Lord Chaitanya, he was overwhelmed in ecstasy. He was just offering obeisances again and again. Never did he see such magnificent, munificent beauty, such mercy. He surrendered to the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya explained that here in Navadvip, I will take birth as the son of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra. And in my youth, I will play the role of a very arrogant scholar. And you will also take birth in my pastimes. You will take birth in the province of Kashmir. And you will become a great pundit. In fact, you will get the blessings of Goddess Saraswati, and by her blessings, she will appear on your tongue every time you speak, and you will defeat everyone in all directions throughout the world, and your name will be Digvijay Pandit Keshav Kashmiri. And you will become so proud, you will become so infatuated by your incredible ability to speak and your eloquent ability to defeat anything and anyone. And when you come here to Navadvip, all the scholars of Navadvip will flee in fear of you. But then you will approach me. And I will smash your pride to pieces. But by then, by the mercy of your goddess Saraswati, you will realize that I am your supreme eternal master, and you will surrender to me, and I will give you pure devotional service. But you should not speak this to anyone. Rather, you should go on preaching this Dvaita-Dvaita philosophy and propagate unalloyed love for Radha and Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya, I will extract the essence of each of the four Vaishnava philosophies from Madhvacharya. I will teach the complete refutation of Mayavad philosophy and the worship of the deity of Krishna, knowing that that deity of Krishna is the transcendental eternal body of the Lord. From Ramanujacharya, I will extract the essence and teach bhakti, devotional service, completely free from any of the pollutions of jnana or karma. Unpolluted bhakti and service to the Vaishnavas. From Vishnu Swami, I will propagate his essence, which is complete dependence on the mercy of Krishna and the path of raga bhakti, spontaneous love. And from your sampradaya, the Nimbark sampradaya, I will propagate the great need of taking shelter of the mercy of Srimati Radharani and the high esteem one requires for honoring and worshipping the love of the gopis. It was at this time, during his darshan with Sri Nimbark Acharya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that he was, although he took initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya, which began at the beginning of creation when Krishna personally instructed Brahma, Brahma instructed Narada, Narada Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, and it has come down in the line and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took in that parampara. Because unless one receives transcendental knowledge through the system of parampara, the power of pure bhakti cannot exist. But Lord Chaitanya, although he received initiation from one parampara, he synthesized all the four paramparas into one. The essence of Ramanuja's teaching, Madhva's teachings, the essence of Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami's teachings are all fully manifested in the teachings of the Yuga Avatar, Patita Pavana Gaura Hari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada has come to give the world these teachings by his great mercy. After having this wonderful darshan of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and receiving the love of Mahaprabhu's mercy, Lord Chaitanya disappeared and Nimbarkacharya in Navadvipa Dham fell to the ground weeping and crying in transcendental ecstasy. The place where this pastime manifested was Bell Pukar. As you remember, for those of you who came to the yatra, we had a choice of seeing Janani Vas and Pankajangari dance or going to Bell Pukar. And you all chose to see them dancing. And you made correct decision because when they danced, all the holy places of Navadvip manifested in their lotus eyes. Hare Krishna. Today is also, or this month, is especially celebrated as the month of Damodar. Because it was on the day of Diwali that Krishna performed this most wonderful leela. In fact, His Holiness Giriraj Swami is so anxious to describe this leela to all of us. When I came into this room, I decided I'm going to speak on Damodar Leela. And I asked Giriraj Maharaj, what would you like to speak about? And he said, Damodar Leela. So I was thinking that he's my senior godbrother. And I speak theoretical information, but he speaks realized knowledge. And out of compassion for all of you, I am going to refrain from speaking. But please know that this wonderful pastime, it is filled with so many extraordinary, sublime, intricate details of pure bhakti. It is illustrious with so many realizations that anyone who hears it submissively from the lips of a great soul like His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj is certainly to go back home, back to God. But before he speaks, we have one special ceremony to perform tonight. On this auspicious day, we would like to offer His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, something that he is always so overjoyed to receive, the publication of a new translation of one of his books. Tonight, as a gift to Srila Prabhupada, we would like to offer for the first time a brand new translation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in Marathi language. No. Rohini Kumar. Rohini Kumar Prabhu is the person who has translated this book. And also we have a new edition of Marathi Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada was always so happy when his books were translated into new languages. Devotees from any part of the world, as soon as they translated, they would always just be so eager to go to where Prabhupada was and present it to him. Here is the Marathi translation of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada would just take it and smile and just look through the pages and congratulate his disciple and with such heartfelt love thank them for their great service. So we are very much happy that Rohini Kumar Prabhu has done this wonderful service along with Raghupati Prabhu and Shamananda Prabhu, and we would like you to, the two of you together, to offer these books to Srila Prabhupada at this time. You go to Srila Prabhupada and offer them the book. He's waiting anxiously. He's been waiting for 20 years for this book. Prabhu has worked for many, many long, long months translating this. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So now His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj will narrate Sri Damodar Lila.
Before I begin, I would like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for bringing us all together here tonight. When I arrived and he welcomed me, he asked if I had any idea what I would say. I said I thought to speak about Damodar Lila. So Maharaj said that he was also thinking to speak about Damodar Lila and he doesn't know what else he would say. So I said that you should go ahead and speak about Damodar Lila and whatever remnants you leave, I will take. And Maharaj said, yes. So in order to keep both of his statements true, his statement to you as well as his statement to me, he will now speak on Damodar Lila. And whatever is left to be said, whatever morsels remain, I will say afterwards.
Krishna once stole butter. And Giriraj Maharaj will explain the details.
Once Lord Krishna broke a pot of freshly churned butter and distributed it to his friends, especially the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. Thereafter, Mother Yashoda came, and when Krishna saw Mother Yashoda, he became very fearful and fled away. So Mother Yashoda caught him. Although great yogis and gyanis cannot catch Krishna, Mother Yashoda caught him and bound him with ropes of love. And now His Holiness Radhanath Swami will explain all the deep meanings and realizations one can get from this story.
Please go on.
Well, one thing I have learned is not to argue too much with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So I will surrender, but I am not responsible for what comes out. You are responsible, but I am surrendering to your order. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who quotes from the Vaishnav Toshini of Srila Sanatan Goswami, the history of the binding of Krishna with the ropes of Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day. And Srila Prabhupada comments that even now Deepavali is celebrated very gorgeously in India, especially in Bombay. Mother Yashoda was churning butter, and baby Krishna awoke, and as soon as he awoke, he felt hungry. And he approached Mother Yashoda to feed him with her breast milk. So Mother Yashoda set aside the churning and took Krishna in her lap and fed him. In the meantime, one pot of milk was boiling on the fire, and it began to boil over. So Mother Yashoda set aside Krishna to tend to the milk on the fire. Srila Prabhupada comments that everything in the household of Mother Yashoda was meant for the service of Krishna. And therefore the fact that Mother Yashoda set aside Krishna to tend to the milk was not inappropriate. We also may be faced with various services, all for the satisfaction of Krishna. And what to do first and what to do later, how to decide. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna within the heart gives the intelligence to the devotee what to do first and what to do later. So Mother Yashoda decided that first she will tend to the milk that was boiling over, and then she will return to Krishna. But Krishna, who was playing as a small baby, felt very frustrated because he hadn't satisfied himself with Mother Yashoda's milk, and he became very angry. And in his anger and frustration, he went and broke a pot of freshly churned butter. Sometimes even adults, when they get frustrated, they, at least, I don't know what they do here, but in America, they just start to eat chocolates. So baby Krishna, when he felt frustrated, he started to break the pot of freshly churned butter and eat it. And not only eat it, but distributed it. He distributed it to his friends and monkeys. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda had taken the milk off the fire, and she returned to the place where she had been churning the butter. And she saw little footprints on the floor made They were Krishna's footprints impressed in butter. So she understood that Krishna had done some mischief. And she saw the broken butter pot. And baby Krishna was standing on the overturned utkala, or grinding mortar. And he was looking here and there because he knew he was guilty of some naughty behavior. And as soon as he saw his mother coming, in great fear, he fled away because he knew he was a culprit. And Mother Yashoda began to pursue him. And the Srimad Bhagavatam explains how even great jnanis and yogis cannot catch Krishna. At most, after years and years of penances and austerities, they may approach the Brahman effulgence of Krishna. But Lord Krishna, who is so inaccessible to jnanis and yogis, allowed himself to be captured by Mother Yashoda. And thus the superiority of bhakti over any other process, even jnana and yoga, was demonstrated by Lord Krishna. So when Mother Yashoda caught Krishna, Krishna became very fearful, and tears flowed from his eyes and washed the mascara that was around his eyes onto his face. And Mother Yashoda considered what to do. She did not really want to punish Krishna because she saw that Krishna was so afraid just by seeing her with the stick. She didn't want him to be too fearful, so she threw aside the stick. But then again, she thought that if Krishna is already so afraid, that if I leave him free, he may run away from the house altogether. And then there will be so much trouble to find him and bring him back. So in order to keep Krishna from running away, and also to prevent him from further mischievous activities, she decided to bind him with ropes, which was a general custom then. So she gathered some ropes, and she wanted to tie him around the waist. The word for rope in Sanskrit is dama, and abdomen is udara. So therefore, Damodar is derived from binding the abdomen of Krishna with ropes. So Mother Yashoda brought the ropes around the waist of Krishna, and the ropes were the width of two fingers too short. So she was surprised because every morning she used to tie Krishna's belt around his waist and she never had any difficulty making the ends meet. But anyway, so she brought a little more rope and added it on. And again, when she attempted to tie it, the ropes were still the width of two fingers too short. In the meantime, the other elderly gopis from the neighborhood had come to see the fun, and they were all amused by the fact that Mother Yashoda could not bind baby Krishna. Even Mother Yashoda was amused. So she brought some more ropes and added the extra length of ropes, but still, when she tried to tie the ropes, 2 inches too short. So eventually she gathered all the ropes in the whole household, which Srila Prabhupada said would have been enough to cover the width of hundreds of fingers, but still the ropes were 2 fingers short. Then Lord Krishna out of compassion for his mother, allowed himself to be bound by the ropes. And again, Srila Prabhupada comments that although Mother Yashoda had pure love for Krishna, even pure love for Krishna was not enough to bind him unless he agreed to allow himself to be bound. Jiva Goswami also comments on the incident. What is the significance of the two fingers? He says that one finger indicates the devotee's endeavor, that the devotee must make his own efforts, and the other finger indicates Lord Krishna's mercy. And by the combination of the devotee's efforts and Lord Krishna's mercy, Lord Krishna can be bound. Srila Prabhupada has also given two examples from nature. One is the baby monkey. The baby monkey holds on to the back of the mother monkey. Actually, once I visited the Johannesburg Zoo, and I actually saw the monkeys there. And the baby monkeys are very small. Their arms are very thin, and their muscles are quite weak. And the baby monkeys, you know, holds on from the back of the mother monkey. And the mother monkey is jumping high in the trees, and the baby monkey has to hold on for dear life. And from what I understand, if the baby monkey loses hold and falls down, the mother monkey doesn't care for him. So that is compared to the ascending process, that by our own efforts we get Krishna. And the other example is the baby kitten. The baby kitten is picked up by the back of the neck by the mother kitten. And the baby kitten doesn't have to worry. He or she has no anxiety because the mother takes care. So that is compared to the descending process, that the devotee just serves Krishna, and Krishna takes care of everything else. Krishna himself comes and takes the devotee back home, back to Godhead. But we cannot just remain idle and just pray to Krishna that, O Krishna, I am your devotee, now you do everything. Just like Arjuna, he never said to Krishna that, Krishna, I am your devotee, now I'm going to take rest, and you please fight with the Kauravas, and when the battle is over, you can wake me and I will take prasad. No. Although Arjuna was devotee, Krishna ordered him that you fight. You think of me and you fight. And actually, Arjuna fought. And the combination of Arjuna's fighting and Krishna's mercy made Arjuna successful. So in the same way, the combination of Mother Yashoda's efforts and Krishna's mercy made Mother Yashoda successful in binding Lord Krishna. So Queen Kunti prays that even fear personified, even Yamaraj also, after the incident with Ajamil, he instructed his agents, Yamadutas, that don't approach the Vaishnavas. Don't approach the Vaishnavas. That means that the agents of Yamaraj are afraid to go to the Vaishnavas and what to speak of Vishnu. So Yamaraj is fear personified, but he is afraid of Krishna. Durga is personified fear. Kali is personified fear. They are afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. Srila Prabhupada explains that everyone goes to the temple to worship Krishna with awe and reverence, with prayers and worship. But Krishna also wants to be chastised sometime. He doesn't always like to be offered prayers. And who will chastise Krishna? Only someone in the position of Krishna's mother can chastise him. But Srila Prabhupada also explains that, for example, to become Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna's parents, they engaged in severe penances and austerities for thousands of years. And when Krishna was pleased with their penances and austerities, he approached them that, "What do you want?" So they replied that, "We want a son like you." And Krishna thought that, "Who is like me? No one is like me. I will become your son." So Srila Prabhupada explains that to come to the position of being able to chastise Krishna is not so easy. One has to do great penances and austerities for many thousands of years. Then he can come to the position of Krishna's mother or father and chastise him. And Krishna enjoys it. Krishna enjoys it. So, just one last example how Krishna enjoys being chastised. He doesn't always want to be prayed with Vedic hymns. And actually he enjoys the chastisement of the gopis of Vrindavan more than Vedic hymns. And now His Holiness Radhanath Swami will explain more. Please.
Thank you, Srila Giriraj Maharaj. Maharaj's very eloquent description of this most worshipable pastime has actually manifested Krishna in all of our hearts. Because when a devotee speaks, Krishna reveals himself through the words of that devotee. And these pastimes can only be understood by devotee. The purpose of Krishna performing this leela is to manifest the supremacy of bhakti. This pastime from beginning to the end is saturated completely with bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explains that this pastime has three very, very critical contradictions in it. And these contradictions can only be understood by a devotee and nobody else. Number one, it says in the Upanishad that Krishna runs faster than the fastest. That the Supreme Absolute Truth is faster than the speed of the wind and faster than the speed of the mind, and that no one can catch him. So how is it that Mother Yashoda, who was not a champion runner, she was a gopi, and Sukadev Goswami describes how she was running. She had wide hips, and she was a Mataji. And she was trying to run, but how much can Matajis run holding sticks and wearing saris. But yet, Krishna, although he was running to get away, she was able to catch him. This is a contradiction. One who cannot be caught by anyone is caught by his devotee. The second contradiction, that Krishna is said in the Shastras that he is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So why, if he's served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, is he stealing butter? Actually, he was such a thief of butter. He would go in so many gopis' houses in Vrindavan, and he would steal the butter, and he would break the pots, and he would feed it to monkeys, and feed it to his friends, and the gopis, they would come to Yashoda Mai and complain. So actually it describes in this Damodar Leela that Mother Yashoda, she would have Nanda Maharaj grow special grasses. These grasses were very, very rare origin of grass, and they had delicious fragrance and flavor. And the best of all the cows of Nanda Maharaj's herd, there were 900,000 cows, and the best cows would eat those grasses. And Mother Yashoda was thinking, if the milk from those cows was made into yogurt and then churned into butter, then Krishna will be so satisfied, he will stay home and eat butter, and he won't break into all the other gopis' houses and steal their butter. And actually, it was this butter, this yogurt, that Mother Yashoda was churning from this very special grasses of the best cows. It is explained, the third contradiction, that Krishna is feared by fear personified. Even Yamaraj stands with folded palms, fearful of God. How is it that Krishna was so much afraid of Mother Yashoda? It describes, after he broke the butter pot and was stealing the butter, and then made his little butter footprints into the other room, Mother Yashoda was looking for him. She was following the footprints of butter. And she found that Krishna was standing on a grinding mortar. Actually, it describes when Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna the milk from her breast, she was looking at Krishna's face, and Krishna's face was so charming that her parental affection was just growing. And as her parental affection was growing, time is, just tell them, just a few more minutes. As the parental affection was growing, she just wanted to give Krishna more and more of her love, her devotion in the form of her milk, and Krishna's beauty was increasing, and her reciprocation of giving milk was increasing. And Mother Yashoda was making milk on the stove, which was to be offered to Krishna. So the milk on the stove, because in Vrindavan everything is personal, nothing is inanimate, the milk on the stove was saying that Krishna is so much enjoying Yashoda's milk. When will he ever come to drink me? He'll never come to drink me. Her milk is immortal. Her milk is eternal. As much as she has devotion, she could give him milk. And the sweetness of her love is so great that what is the use of my existence? Why will he ever want to drink my milk? So there's no use in my existence. So I will commit suicide by jumping into the fire. And thus the milk started jumping to commit suicide into the fire, and it appeared it was boiling over. So Mother Yashoda went to take it off the stove. And as she took it off the stove, then Krishna went, and he broke the pot. And she followed his footsteps. And there she saw him standing on a wooden grinding mortar used to grind spices. And he was already eating so much butter and feeding it to monkeys, she picked up a stick. And when Krishna, he was looking in all directions to make sure she would not catch him. And when she saw him coming, he began to run. He was weeping and crying and trembling, greatly afraid. He was running away from his mother. And Mother Yashoda was running after him, and he was running away, and she was running, and he was running. The greatest yogis, lifetimes of tapasya, they can never catch Krishna. The greatest jnani, studying the scriptures birth after birth after birth, they can never catch Krishna. But Mother Yashoda, she was able to catch Krishna. Because Krishna is always, by his own sweet will, conquered by the love of his devotee. And then she went to tie Krishna. But as Maharaj was saying, the rope the width of two fingers too short. And she was trying and trying and trying. And it was such a wonderful miracle, and she had so much devotion, she just wanted to protect Krishna from running away in fear, that the flowers in Mother Yashoda's hair, they were thinking, what a devotee she is. Let me take the dust of her lotus feet. Therefore, the flowers were jumping out of her hair down to her feet to catch the dust. And then Krishna, by his own sweet, actually, he told, when he was caught by Mother Yashoda, he was begging for mercy. Just like when you come before a judge and you know you're guilty, you say, I did it, please have mercy. Krishna said, I did it, I stole the butter, please have mercy on me. Krishna is always bound by the love of his devotee, by his own sweet will. And one who hears this wonderful pastime, especially during the month of Kartik, with a spirit of devotion, will certainly also attract Krishna to be bound by that love. So at this time, as we perform every year on this holy night of this full moon, we will all chant the Damodarastakam. And we'll be distributing lamps for everyone to offer. But everyone, wherever you're sitting, offer. Don't crowd forward. Just offer where you're sitting. And we should meditate on this. As we're offering these lamps, this lamp is the symbol, not symbol, but expression of the light of our hearts, which is devotion. We are offering this for the pleasure of the Lord, the light, the lamp of our love. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath.